Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you guys about betonline.ag. Happy New Year, everybody! It's the first week of the 2024 sports calendar, and even though football season may be over, and even though our bet of blue Gatorade at the Super Bowl dunking Andy Reid did not cash, we are still giving you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you head to BetOnline Sportsbook with the link in the description to this episode and use our promo code BLEAVE. Use that 50% welcome bonus to bet on basketball. Maybe you're into the pro, maybe you're into the college, maybe you're into Caitlin Clark setting the all-time scoring record in the history of college basketball. However you choose to bet, 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the link in the description to this episode. Bet online, where the game starts. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good night. However and whenever it is you may be listening, thank you for stopping on into another fantabulous episode of the Take It Easy podcast live on the Bleav Podcast Network. Except it isn't live because it is a podcast. And podcasts aren't live. It's the whole purpose of this podcasting thing. You can listen however and whenever it is that you so choose. And God damn it, we appreciate that you have decided to stop in however and whenever it is that you may be listening. Our friend Blake Jude is back. He has been our number one podcast friend for years. We used to do weekly, every other week podcast for years and years on the Take It Easy podcast, as both of us were kind of honing our skills and abilities in doing this sports talk, sports analysis, sports podcasting type of space. And Blake's expertise is always in the draft. I've said this for years and years and years. Blake Jude is the person that I trust with draft knowledge as good as anyone. This guy is absolutely excellent at NFL draft analysis. This is the fifth year that we've come back and done this type of draft analysis, and we had been gone for so long that we did a three-hour podcast together over the weekend, and I just had to break it up into three parts. So if you're listening to today's show, I encourage you to continue listening if you so choose. If you're a fan of the Atlanta Falcons or the New York Jets or the Minnesota Vikings, yeah, this episode is for you. We're working through a mock draft here. We did a whole 30-minute podcast before a 2.5-hour mock draft. It was intense. We did so much draft analysis, caught up on so many things that we had been missing out on together over the years, or not over the years, over the many months since the last time Blake had come on the show. And so we have a 3-hour podcast that we are breaking up into three parts for the whole week. So if you want Blake Jude and I talking football, the first 7 picks of the draft, you can check that out. Also, if you want to follow along with the mock draft and our picks, Comical Sports Memes on Instagram is the place to go. I have posted the full mock draft there. Blake Jude is his page Stripe Hype Cincy is a collaborator on it. There is so much stuff here, and we appreciate so much that Blake continues to come back year after year after year and do this fun type of stuff with us. So this is part 2 of our mock draft. Part 3 will come out on Thursday. Part 1 is Monday's episode of the show. Encourage you guys to check out all 3 parts. It's an awesome 3-hour podcast that we've broken up into 3 1-hour bits for you and your viewing enjoyment. So without further ado, here we continue with part 2 of Mock Draft 1.0 with Stripe Hype Blake Jude. Do we want to draft Xavier Worthy to Atlanta right now, or are we
I'm gonna go a little bit off from that, but I will say that would be a fun fit. But with the Atlanta Falcons here, I guess we're gonna assume that this is Justin Fields, right? This is Justin Fields
Yeah,
Falcons.
let's operate under the assumption Justin Fields has been traded for their second round pick or something.
Okay, because that does, I think, change a little bit for me, maybe in terms of
Oh
like
God, JJ
who they would
McCarthy.
take
Oh
here.
God.
It very well might have been McCarthy had they not traded for Justin
I'm
Fields.
not saying JJ McCarthy is Mac Jones for me this year, but at the same time, I'm like, I just don't see it with JJ McCarthy. And maybe that's just because of Michigan trying to disguise him a bunch, but I'm just like, I just don't see it.
I don't blame you because I kind of don't either. I think there is potential there. Like, he's not Mac Jones,
Yeah,
but
it's not that dramatic, but it like I
it's not
just
great either.
yeah.
And that's kind of the issue. So I think I'm gonna go actually defense here with Atlanta now, because I was originally probably gonna go either quarterback or wide receiver here. But I think under a Justin Fields-led offense, I think I would want to pivot a little bit, even though there are a couple of offensive lineman prospects that are pretty intriguing here that I think would complement Justin Fields really well. I'm actually going to go defensive, and I'm going to go Dallas Turner here, who I think just had a pretty good combine. He looks really good. He's had very promising film. I do think he's probably the best edge rusher in this year's class, and I think Atlanta still needs to add to that pass rush a little bit. It's just not consistent enough. That defense got torched in the second half of the season, and that's with the elite play of guys like Jesse Bates in the backfield and things like that. So they need to get better pressure to make the lives of their corners and safeties a little bit easier on them. And once they're able to do that, I think this defense will be pretty well complete for the most part. And I think if they add Justin Fields, then you already have your new quarterback, you have your new Raven offense. I think you already have capable pass catchers and a good offense of line there already, so defense just makes the most sense for me in this case.
Yeah, that defense was good in spurts this year. The problem with the Falcons was just when things went bad, it was like real bad for the Atlanta Falcons. And that Arizona game, I remember, just went real bad real quick for them. I think they lost to the Panthers, but that was kind of a pretty good defensive showing. I just Atlanta, I could understand going defense there, especially because like their receiving core is not bad. They just weren't being used correctly. That's why we kind of all agree. It's like they have drafted so many skill position players that at this point it's like they're all there. They're all widely regarded as good. So I think it makes all the sense in the world for them to go defense there because they're adding Jesse Bates has given their defense an identity. They have a true number one corner in AJ Terrell, and they have maybe the best safety in the NFL in Bates. And that's a pretty good foundation for a defense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think once they're able to add that consistent edge rusher, I think they kind of expected Bud Dupree to be that guy, but he just wasn't at all. Unfortunately, go Cats, but he just wasn't. So they need to find that guy to replace him. I still think Arnold Ebiketie on the other side is a guy that's young. I think he can develop a little bit still. And I know that there is a lot of potential. I know there's, thinner three, their middle three, with guys like David Onyemata, Grady Jarrett, Zach Harrison, Calais Campbell. Those guys are all really good. So it really is just adding that outside linebacker, that outside pass rusher that can win. And I think Dallas Turner is a great blend of speed and strength that would be really fun for them. I also like a couple of other guys as potential options to be those outside linebackers. But if I'm Atlanta, that's a team that needs edge rusher enough to where they would like to pick from the best. So I think Dallas Turner here would be a great pick.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that one. Chicago again at number nine here. I'm stuck between whether to go defense or to go with Rome Odunze, because I am a big believer in DJ Moore once you give him an actual passing threat like that. And I think they probably need a receiver in some way, shape, or form here. I'm going to go with Rome Odunze here for Chicago. So that way they get the quarterback wide receiver pairing together. But I was tempted to add defense there. I know they have money in free agency and they've been connected to some people, especially another edge rusher, but I'm gonna take Roma Dunze here, not knowing what Chicago's gonna do in free agency.
I love Roman Dunze. His tape was so much fun to watch this year in Washington. Washington in general was a lot of fun to watch this year with Jalen Polk and Michael Penix. That team was just fun. They were just fun. He was such a safe prospect, and his numbers were off the charts this year. I think he'll be a very interesting complement to put apart from DJ Moore. I think they kind of play a different role in the offense, so it could definitely make sense in terms of that. But I do also think at the same time, I would almost wonder here who's going to be the alpha between DJ Moore and Roma Dunze. That actually kind of seems fun to see how those two would compete together against each other for targets and touches. And man, that would be such a huge difference for Chicago going from a passing attack that really no one thought about to Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, DJ Moore, potentially Darnell Mooney, and Cole Kmet all on that offense as pass catchers, which just becomes, I would argue, one of the most dangerous, young, high-potentialed passing attacks in the NFL. That would be a huge change for them, and I think that would be a really, really fun way to get started by getting Roma Dunze and Caleb Williams in the draft. I would hope that maybe they could get some offensive linemen who could, protect the quarterback pretty well. I wonder how often their offensive line was overlooked in terms of Justin Fields kind of made their life a little bit easier at times, what people kind of considered. And so I almost wonder, should maybe an offensive lineman be taken here so they could be safe? But I still think Roma Dunze is one of the best prospects on this board right now. And his impact that he would leave on this team is undeniable. They need another receiver apart from DJ Moore. And this is the guy that could be that guy. And I think he's really good. So I love this pick.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. They need another receiver. It's just how they get it is something that's a curiosity of mine because they have a lot of money still to spend in free agency, and they also need some defense because their defense sucked last year. But they were 6-2 basically the back half of the season, so they might be right on the precipice of a breakthrough. New York Jets feels like they're here every year, 10th pick in the draft. Always 7-10, always picking between 10 and 13 in the draft. I think I know where you're gonna go, but I'm just gonna lay out and see what you have to say.
Well, this board actually kind of fell perfectly for New York. Even though this is a team that I think would definitely like a receiver had they fallen to pick 10, I think the biggest need on this team is offensive tackle because your absolute biggest goal right now is to do everything you can to protect Aaron Rodgers next season if he's going to play. And I think Joe Alt is by far and away the best tackle in pass blocking in this class this year. I'm a huge fan of Joe Alt's game from Notre Dame. I think he's a very, very safe, smart, good, protective left tackle. Obviously, the New York Jets right now have Dwayne Brown at left tackle, who is, I believe, a free agent this year, and I think he's 36. So they definitely need to look to find younger, better replacement on the outside. And Joe Watt's the perfect guy to do that. He's a great fit. He's a great player. He's top five in my overall rankings. I believe he's number five overall on my board here. And so for them to get the fifth overall player at a huge position of need and a valuable position at that at tackle, I think this is a slam dunk pick for New York, and they would be very happy to get this.
This is that classic thing we were talking about off the top of the podcast. If you have a blue chipper top five, top 10 prospect that slides down the board, just take them. It's probably going to work out great for you. And for a team like the Jets, who kind of expects to get to the playoffs and probably should expect to get to the playoffs because they had the number three ranked DVOA defense last year. Yeah, just plug in the tackle, get protection, and see what happens when you actually have a quarterback, because they haven't actually had a quarterback since the last time they took a quarterback with a top 11 pick, which was Mek or a tackle with a top 11 pick, which was Mekhi Becton. That was exactly what I thought was going to happen, and you made the exact pick that I thought, which now leaves me here to probably think about taking JJ McCarthy for the godforsaken Minnesota Vikings. Because now the tackle's off the board, the receivers are off the board. I'm just looking up right now and I'm like, damn it, are they going to be the team that takes JJ McCarthy? Because I think the the Kirk Cousins thing. I know you threw out some teams earlier, but to me, they're in terms of teams that are in terms of teams and the timelines that they're on, I think there's only two teams that really work for Kirk Cousins, and it's the Vikings and it's the Broncos. Those are the only two that I feel like make sense for Kirk Cousins on their current timelines. And so if Kirk Cousins isn't going back to Minnesota, Minnesota kind of has to take a quarterback because they really don't have any in-house option.
And I do wonder, like, Minnesota, I think, would be one of those teams that would surely offer everything they can to get up to pick three or pick two. I feel like that would be a team that makes a lot of sense, especially if they don't get Kirk Cousins back. But I do think the situation with Justin Jefferson's pretty, like, important in all of this too. And he's a big proponent of re-signing Kirk Cousins to this team, which I almost think in a way is kind of forcing the Vikings' hand here, because you really just can't afford to not listen to your franchise player who you know you're gonna have to pay regardless. So this is it's a tough conversation to have, because they might actually be able to pay Justin Jefferson more if they don't re-sign Kirk Cousins. So you almost wonder why he would even want that. But at the same time, it also makes sense because he is the best receiver in the NFL because Kirk Cousins is getting him the ball consistently. So it does make sense in the same breath. And I think that if I was the Minnesota Vikings here, if Justin Jefferson wants to keep Kirk Cousins, I would keep Kirk Cousins. It's just one of those scenarios. I mean, it really depends. Maybe even you keep Kirk Cousins on a 1 or 2 year deal and still draft JJ McCarthy to progress him. I do think there are some like good players that are available that I could maybe see them looking to take. I think of guys like Byron Murphy, or even Leetu Luatu. If they want another edge rusher, Jerzon Newton, maybe. I think of like other players that can maybe fit on the that could be added to the defense to help fix it. But a lot of their positional needs, in my eyes, kind of lie along the interior offensive line and really the running back position, who they really don't have any running backs at all. So that's kind of the way I see it outside of quarterback right now, because they have good receivers, they have a pretty solid defense as a whole, and you really do wonder like where they're going to head here. I think they're in a position to take the best player available or a quarterback, right? It's one of those two.
Yeah, that's kind of my thinking right now. Is the best defensive player you would have on the board right now Latu?
Probably I would worry about his fit in that defense is the only problem, because honestly, I think he'd probably fit better in that Broncos off defense. But I mean, at the same time, he's strong. I would be
Ooh.
certainly okay with that pick. I think I'd be between Latu, Jackson Powers Johnson, or I would probably heavily consider Kalisfuwaga Fuwaga just based off of his just sheer talent. But
That's a
I don't
that's
know
another
how.
interesting name.
Maybe move him to guard, let him play offensive guard and be just a beast for a while, and then play him as your other tackle in the future. It's like that'd be pretty cool. But
I'm thinking of
I don't
teams
know.
that also might
There's a lot
want
of
to
picks out here
trade.
I'd understand.
Yeah, I'm thinking of teams that also might want to trade up to get an edge rusher potentially. I see Miami down there at 21. Because obviously they're not going to get Jalen Phillips and potentially Chubb back for next year, and they were starting two guys they signed off the street for playoff games last year. I see the Dolphins there who might want Latu.
I have a team I know I want to trade up for in a minute, but I don't know if now's the time, because I don't know if I would take the guy that I would be worried about them taking yet.
You know what? You know who I'm gonna go with here? I'm gonna go with Talisfuaga Fuaga here. I'll go reinforce
Kalisfuwaga.
the offensive line
Okay.
for the Vikings. So a second lineman off the board, I'll go Talisfuaga Fuaga from Oregon State.
This would be a move that I think would finally give Minnesota an identity in the running game now that they don't have Madison or Dalvin Cook on their team. I think that would be really fun to have Fuaga, just a big body, just animal in the interior, or even play him tackle if you really wanted them to. But this gives you a really good option, I think, to be a very powerful run just destroying team, because Christian Darrisaw is already really good as a run blocker and a mauler and a big guy. And now you add Fuaga to that team as well. That's just terrifying. I just know that'd be so much fun if the the Vikings are able to have that work out. So the Broncos are here on pick 12. I almost wonder if I would want to trade down here too.
I'll be Miami at 21. I'm willing to offer.
Okay.
Let's see. So 21 to 12. It'd probably be Miami gives up because they don't have a third rounder, I think, because of the scheme to get Sean Payton and Tom Brady from a couple of years ago. I think their
That's
third rounder's
right.
gone. So maybe say like they give up their second rounder. And they give up pick 21 in their second rounder, and then the Broncos give up pick 12 and like their third rounder or something like that. Or I don't know if the Broncos have any compensatory picks, but if they do, like a
Let's
compensatory
see.
pick.
Denver has 1276. They don't actually have a second round pick, so they would love that. They have picked 12, 76, and 114. So maybe
Wow, they gave up a second round pick for Sean Payton. Oh, they got back another pick. Okay. Oh, so they
yeah.
have oh no, they traded one of their third round picks. Okay, so they the Broncos have a third the Broncos have their third round pick. So yeah, let's say the Broncos trade pick 12 and their third round pick for the Dolphins' first two picks.
Okay. Yeah, I
Yeah,
can do
we'll do
that.
that.
I think
Okay.
that's fair.
Okay, let me slide Miami from 21 to 12. We know Stephen Ross likes being aggressive, or what's his name? Andrew Berry likes being aggressive, and then we'll have them take Latu with this pick.
Right. Okay. Latu has really impressed me over the last couple of years, or over the last couple of weeks, sorry, from like what I've seen from him. I think he really has done himself a lot of favors in the last couple of weeks, just absolutely killing it in a lot of the drills he's been in. I think he is a guy that not many people really recognized before the season started. I think a lot of people kept an eye on Jared Verse and Dallas Turner's really the top two edges, and he's kind of really earned his spot as like a guy on this. And I really think Latu has a very, very good chance of being the number one overall defensive player taken in this class if things go really, really well for him, because he really has that talent to be one of those guys. He's got great size for his position. I think he's got a good blend of speed and power. I think that he's someone I could see being a high-end sack player for a team in the future. He kind of reminds me a little bit, if you remember, of Lucas Van Ness, a couple of from last year's class, in
Yeah.
a way where he's just super, super high effort. He makes a lot of plays. I think the longer the play goes, the more dangerous he becomes because he is relentless in getting to the quarterback. So that's what I like a lot about him. I think he's super, super. He's got good stamina. He's super strong and he's super composed. What's the word I'm thinking of? He's super. I feel like as time goes on, he just gets more and more dangerous for the quarterback. Like every second that counts, it gets harder because he is consistently pulling off moves and getting around offensive linemen to be able to get to the quarterback at a high level. I really like the fact that he is able to kind of win off the bull rush, which is, being able to push the offensive lineman straight back. But also, I think he has good rip moves getting to the outside, getting around, which I value a lot in a defensive lineman, especially an edge rusher like Latu. And for a team like Denver, who just lost Bradley Chubb, obviously, to a trade the previous year and is kind of looking to rebuild this defense, you really do need a guy like Latu who can get to the quarterback consistently because they really haven't had that guy on defense. And so I love this pick. I think he's destined to go top 12 in some sort. So I'm glad he's able to get taken here at 12.
Were we having Denver take him or Miami take him at 12?
Miami, I apologize. I had Denver written. I think Denver taking him here would make a lot of sense too, ironically. Miami too, because Miami obviously has a lot of question marks right now. I mean, Bradley Chubb is on Miami, actually. So I guess it would be a fun addition there.
Yes,
But
but
and
Bradley
Jalen Phillips
Chubb.
just came off of the really bad injury. So you kind of need to add an extra guy there to even be able to rush the passer. Sorry, what were you saying?
No, it's both of them right now because Phillips tore his Achilles during the Black Friday
Right.
game, and then Chubb tore his ACL the second to last week of the season, I want to say. So they aren't going to have either of them right now. They'll get Van
Beginning of the
Ginkle
season.
back at least, so it'll be like Van Ginkle and Latu probably.
Is he a free agent?
Van Ginkle might be, but I would assume they'd want to re-sign him.
Maybe. Still, I think Latu would be a great addition to this team. I mean, think about him playing on the other side of Bradley Chubb. I mean, that's just terrifying to think about. I think if you're able to really have two elite level pass rushers like that went off the outside in the future, right? You think about the future of that team, and maybe Bradley Chubb isn't in their long term plans. Maybe it's Jalen Phillips, or maybe they choose to keep Bradley Chubb. You know, I think either way, this is kind of like one of those picks. I do get a feeling here, like the edge rushers, these top three edge rushers, and we'll talk about the last one in a little bit. I feel like people are going to take them just based off of their talent alone, because you really almost can't. This is another pick you really can't overthink it, because Latu was just so dominant. He was winning against every single offensive lineman in the Senior Bowl. So if you're looking at different prospects here, I mean, what defensive player are you going to take? Like, I mean, I do see a lot of potential in some of these corners, but I don't know if I'm taking any corner other than Cooper DeJean in the top 10 right now. And I think Latu is a top 10 talent. So, I mean, it's the best player available. And I think this could be a pick. Maybe Miami just sees Latu falling and they're like, okay, we're going to take him because we think he's a top five caliber player. You know, I could definitely see that being a
As
scenario.
time goes on, too, I think what also might happen is they start moving as Chubb loses a step off the edge. I think they move Chubb to some more inside pass rushing, like as a more defensive tackle type, or have him rush on the interior more than they have him rush off the edge as he gets older. I think that might be the transition also, is that you have Latu Phillips and then Chubb playing some inside, similar to like what happened with JJ Watt near the end of his career. I feel like that's a possibility too, as the pass rusher ages, an option is to have them play some snaps on the interior as well and rotate and things like that. And obviously Latu can play some off-ball linebacker if they need to also with
Right. Yeah.
The Dolphins. They don't have Spags anymore, so I'm sorry, they don't have Fangio anymore, so I don't know what their defense is going to look like, but I know with Fangio they like to have some blitz packages in there, so we'll see what happens there. Let's go to the Raiders at pick 13, which I have that pick, and I'm thinking a cornerback here. Is Wiggins the second one you would say on your board as we stand right now? You said you would go back and look at some stuff later, but
I think my next two, Wiggins is just, he's fast and I like him a lot, but his measurements scare me so bad because he's so small. He's just, it worries me. I like Quinyon Mitchell a lot out of Toledo. And I also like Terrion Arnold from Alabama. Those are my next two corners. At the moment, I think Wiggins and Kool-Aid are kind of like that four and five that I would really list right now. I think they're all go around one no matter what, even with Wiggins' measurements. I still think he's around one corner. I don't know if I'd take him here just because I worry about his size and I worry about him just. I don't think he's capable of being a lockdown against a bigger body receiver on the outside. And for a team like the Raiders, who are going up against guys like Mike Williams, for example, who I don't really know if it's a great example because he's not really healthy, but players like that who are just big body guys, I do think that I would look for more of an alpha. And I think if I was picking right here, I'd probably pick between Mitchell and Arnold. But Wiggins is gonna go top 32, in my opinion. It just I don't know if he'd go here. I
Let's
mean, he could say
go
he could.
let's go Quinyon Mitchell here, because that dude, I know people who really like the Senior Bowl are holding him up as the example of like he was kind of in that like 5'6", 7" corner range, came from a small school, not a lot of people high on him, and then Senior Bowl rolls around, kicks ass at the Senior Bowl, and he might have made himself a few $100,000 or maybe millions of dollars as a result of his performance at the Senior Bowl. So we'll go Quinyon Mitchell at 13 here.
Do you know what I love more about Quinyon Mitchell than anything? He has played in every single game since 2021. I love that from corners, especially because this guy has allowed a passer rating below 50, or really, I guess 55, below 55 for the last two seasons. And his season in 2022 was nothing short of special. He had five picks. Three total touchdowns allowed, right? A 34.8 allowed passer rating off of 70 targets and only allowed 27 receptions that year. He was unreal. And you might think, could he really have replicated that the next year? pretty much the exact same. He didn't get the picks he was hoping for, but he didn't allow a touchdown last year. And in 437 coverage snaps, he had 62 targets and only 27 receptions allowed, which again is very, very low, which makes for a low passer rating. He's been locked down for a long time. You know, you wonder, he played for Toledo, so is there a case of it being just a lack of competition? Well, I tell you, everyone said this about Tariq Woolen too, and everyone was like, "Is Tariq Woolen just because of the lack of competition?" And I think with corners, if they're athletic, and Quinyon Mitchell is very athletic, and they can show that they have ball skills, they're good. And I think Quinyon Mitchell is going to be a guy who I could see being a like one of the day one like really good corners coming out immediately. People do say often that like there's rookie slumps and things like that. Some, you know, maybe there's a rookie slump for Mitchell, but at least starting year two, I would already pencil him in as being a cornerback one level talent because he's got the size, he's got the athleticism, he has such good film watching the cornerback's eyes, making sure you can stay glued on him. I think he's very, very capable in man, also can play in zone a little bit. I just think this is a pretty well complete prospect for the most part. I do think he's best suited for sure playing on the outside. I do think that this is a team that could definitely use an outside presence at corner like Quinyon Mitchell. And honestly, this is a great start, I think, to the Antonio Pierce new regime. Drafting a small school corner such as Mitchell, who I think has had to work for everything he's gotten so far, you know, in terms of building up the level of his play to become a top 15 level NFL prospect. I think that this is a guy that has a lot to prove, and he's going to prove it come soon because everything I've heard bad about Mitchell is all based off the fact that he plays for Toledo. And when I hear that, I just think in my mind, you don't have anything bad to say about him because if that's your reason why for hating him, then there's no other reason to not want to take him, right? Because he played for Toledo, that's not his fault. I mean, he played perfect when he was on the field, so you can't really hate him for that.
Yeah, group of five, stand up. You're a Marshall guy. I am I guess FCS, but San Diego State's always been my team. Stand up for the group of five guys. We love it. Have him go in the top 13. Now we got the Saints up here at 14. What are you thinking for the Saints?
So, do I do it? I don't know. Does J.J. McCarthy go to the Saints? Ooh.
So this is interesting because they can get out of the Derek Carr contract after next year. So if they
All
wanted to
right.
like sit him, that's fair. But I also think what's going to end up happening next year is that like if the Saints start out like 3-6, they might just bench Derek Carr and fire Dennis Allen. Because like, is there a coach who's starting the year on a hotter seat than Dennis Allen? I don't think there's
No.
one. And Derek Carr, they can get out of the Carr contract after next year. So it could happen. Maybe.
See, man, I want to take McCarthy, but at the same time, I really don't want to take McCarthy because I don't want to do that to Saints fans. And as a former Saints writer, I want to do right by the Saints. So I'm going to do right by the Saints. I'm going to take Byron Murphy the second from Texas on this team to be the defensive lineman. I think Byron Murphy is a very, very fun three-tech prospect who has really just showed out and is very impressive. I think he is a great pass rusher and is very capable of winning in the interior. He has a perfect blend of speed and power. And I think what Byron Murphy does so well for Texas is stay inconsistent in terms of he's always performing a different move. I think he does very well tricking interior offensive linemen. They try to work together to fix stop a certain move. And the moment they think that they figured it out, he spins around and goes the other way. I think he's very good at tricking the interior. And that's what I like a lot about him, I think. And, you know, the Saints are a team that really hasn't had consistent interior pass rush presence. A lot of their pass rushes come from the outside, from guys like Marcus Davenport and Cam Jordan. I think if you can add an interior guy like Byron Murphy, that creates for a very dangerous pass rush. Dennis Allen's a defensive guy. He definitely wants to add to this interior defensive line, I'm sure, because it's very, very weak right now. Probably the weakest position on defense. And even though McCarthy's on the table, even though Olu Fashanu's on the table at offensive tackle, which would be a great fit for this team, I do think that Byron Murphy's a very good talent here and can make a big impact on the Saints team.
And you just mentioned the guy I'm going to have picked at 15, which, by the way, for the Saints, if they took JJ McCarthy, and this is a case of how the mighty have fallen, I think they would be like failing JJ McCarthy. Like they would be a bad fit for JJ McCarthy, given that they might be about to fire a general head coach, move on from a quarterback, and potentially move on from Mickey Loomis after all these years, which I don't know if you can really fire Mickey Loomis, but they might be getting ready to part ways after 16, 17 years together and go a different direction. But like, yeah, I think drafting JJ McCarthy would set him up for failure. Absolutely. And that's crazy to think about given how the Saints have kind of turned that thing around now. The player I said you just mentioned who I'm going to have for the Colts at 15 is Olu Fashanu, the offensive lineman from Penn State. Not quite sure exactly what position he'll fit in with the Colts, but I'm sure the Colts will figure it out along the offensive line.
Yeah, he has to be the left tackle, probably. So it'd be a matter of switching the left tackle over to play another position because I think he's pretty much played left tackle his entire career. And I don't know if I've ever even seen him play another position, to be honest with you. But he's very, very good at left tackle, and that's why he's playing there. So it's really hard not to want to put him there. I think
The
Olu
Colts,
actually would
I
be
was going to say, the Colts left tackle is Bernard Raymond. So I think they're okay with sliding him
And he
in as the
wasn't
starting
great.
tackle. Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a big need for this team because they really needed a guy that could protect Anthony Richardson and Gardner Minshew, I guess you could say, who had a lot of trouble dealing with a lot of pressure this year. The Colts have, I would consider, one of the best guards in the NFL, and Quentin Nelson. We know they have a very good center in Ryan Kelly. We know that they have Braden Smith at right tackle, who is very solid. So they have great offensive linemen here. Olu adds to this team. I think now they again have one of the best offensive linemen, groups in the NFL. If you are able to add Olu, I think he's a good pass protector, but also a very, very good run blocker for this team. I think Jonathan Taylor would be a big fan of running behind him because he can make some space with his size and his ability to pancake and get other people on the ground at a very, very quick rate. And I do think you talk about having him and Quentin Nelson together next to each other, it's going to be hard for anyone to get through that. That's going to be a problem. So I think this is a very good pick. It makes a lot of sense here. And if I'm the Colts, I'm taking full advantage of this, and I'm running towards the left side every single play.
There you go. They have rebuilt the offensive line after years of thinking. This is when they take. We've probably done like six different mock drafts now with the Colts taking a left tackle, and the Colts just never take a left tackle. Just they haven't done it since Costanzo left. They've probably needed to do it for a few years. Now we finally have them picking a tackle, but maybe they sign one before we get to that point. Who knows? We'll see. You got Seattle at 16. Is this the point where you're thinking of trading down, or are we sticking around here with Seattle?
Ooh, I actually love trading down here. I would love to trade down from this pick.
Hmm.
I don't know if I should trade with myself. I feel like that's, I don't know if I want to do that though.
Let me
Because I feel
see
like
who
this team would also possibly take the same player, but I don't know.
Well, you can trade with yourself if we need to, because I'm looking through my teams. I
Okay.
have
I kind of want.
Houston, the Rams, the Packers. I don't really see anyone trading up in that group.
Okay. I kind of think Pittsburgh's going to trade up here
Yeah, let's
from
do that.
20 to 16. I think they want to jump Cincinnati and Jacksonville. Let's see here. What is the trade going to look like? We're probably looking at.
What picks does Pittsburgh have?
I'm trying to pull that up right now.
Unless there's a player that would just make the trade work, like if they're trying to clear out someone in order to get someone else. Let's see. Steelers, future draft picks. Here we go. So Steelers have all of their draft picks for this year and an extra fourth rounder because they moved. They traded Kevin Dotson to the Rams and moved up around in the draft, it looks like. So they have two fourth rounders, but no fifth rounder this year. So they have seven draft picks this year.
Okay. It is interesting because Seattle only has 2/3, but no second. I wonder maybe if it's like a pick swap here, 16 to 20 to move down from 52, to move up from 78 to 52, maybe.
Yeah, that sounds good. And even if they want
I
like
feel
a
like that's
seventh round
pretty,
pick or something to balance it out, that should be
right,
fine.
something like that. I feel like that's pretty fair because that way the team still has even amount of picks, I think. And I think it's enough change in the second round to make it worth moving up four spots in the first round, I would say, because talent-wise, a lot of players are pretty similar here, so you don't want to give them too much in value to move up a couple of spots. And also, the pick here I'm making isn't going to be a prime position, rather a much smaller position. So we're going to do that. I'm going to take Jackson Powers Johnson, the center from Oregon here at pick 16 to Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh, they just released their starting center, Mason Cole. It's certainly possible they look to sign someone, but I love slotting Jackson Powers Johnson here to Pittsburgh, who I think is going to fit really, really well in this offense. I think that he could be the next future center. They'll pair with whatever quarterback they want to roll with in the future. I don't really know who that is. I think he's quite literally and honestly far and away the best interior offensive lineman in this class. There's one other guy I think is a tackle who could play a really good offensive guard, and we might pick him in this if he falls a little bit more. But I will say Jackson Powers Johnson is the only one that could play center who I think is really this good. And in my eyes, really, I see a lot of player comps to Creed Humphrey. And honestly, like in terms of how good they are coming out of college, it's very similar. So we're talking about a really high-end level center, I think, here. And the Steelers are a team that's just had to fix their offensive line for so long. We thought about, are they going to take an offensive tackle here? I think if I'm being honest, they're probably going to look to try to pay someone to be that tackle on the outside. They also have Broderick Jones that they're developing in the future, unless they're planning on, having maybe Dan Moore play there at right tackle next year. I think they'll figure out the right tackle position. I think they're going to wait to solve the center position. They might get a stopgap because they want Jackson Powers Johnson, who I think is a good fit for this team at pick 16.
See, I didn't even stop to think about the interior offensive line, and that makes a ton of sense for Pittsburgh, especially because Najee Harris was really good when he has blocking for him and really bad the one year that they had no blocking for him. So I think that is going to be perfect for what Pittsburgh is trying to do. I think it makes sense that they would jump those two teams specifically to want to get an interior offensive lineman as well. So it does make sense that they would move up the four picks there. I'll go to Jacksonville here. I'm gonna take Terrion Arnold for Jacksonville here. You mentioned he's probably about your quarter three or quarter two in this draft. So I will take Terrion Arnold, slide him in for Jacksonville. Offensive line, obviously a need. We don't know if Calvin Ridley's coming back, all that stuff, but I will take Terrion Arnold there, plug him in at the corner position for the Jags.
I actually love this pick. This should be a blast for Jacksonville to have. And I think this is a team that kind of actually needs like extra defensive back help in general. So to have someone like Terrion Arnold fit on this team, he is so fast. And I think everyone kind of slotted in Kool-Aid McKinstry to be the top, tier corner on this team. And Arnold just kind of showed up this season and pretty much outplayed him to the point where he was really guarding the best players on the field towards the end of the season for Alabama. And Arnold is just really impressive. I think he's shown to be very athletic, and I know Jacksonville loves their athleticism and their skill positions and secondary players, so it makes a lot of sense in terms of that. I think Arnold is a guy that is someone that you really want to play. I think he's capable of playing in zone and man both. But I do think he is pretty decent in terms of keeping the speed necessary to be able to hold people at bay from winning deep. So especially in offenses where I think you expect him to cover a lot of ground, like in cover three, I think he could be really valuable in that. And I really do think Arnold's going to be a good fit in any defense he plays because I think his speed just makes him just so talented and dangerous for a defensive unit to use because, if you want to send him in on a blitz or some sort, I think you've got the speed to be able to do that. If you want to make him to where he's going to play on the outside and be that lockdown corner for your team, I think he's also capable of doing that. So there's different ways, a couple of different ways you can use him. I think there is a bit of projection here because he's not completely polished in his game, but I do think Jacksonville can get him there.
All right, here's your beautiful boys, Cincinnati, pick 18. What they hope will be the highest draft pick they get in the rebuild, because I know like Baltimore's highest pick was 14 when they got Kyle Hamilton. This is supposed to be your Kyle Hamilton pick, the highest draft pick they'll get in retooling this team around Burrow, who's now making a ton of money. What does Blake Jude say will happen for his beloved Cincinnati Bengals?
So they've tagged T. Higgins, who they're bringing back for one more season. I think it's all but certain that Tyler Boyd is gone. I think it's all but certain Jonah Williams is gone. I almost think DJ Reader's potentially gone as well. So they lose a lot on this team. I think Chidobe Awuzie is gone. So they kind of have a couple of needs in a couple of different places. I could consider corner. I could consider off the tackle. I could consider safety, even wide receiver. I'm gonna kind of stick with my gut here and what I think Cincinnati would do. Here, I'm gonna go with J.C. Latham, the offensive tackle from Alabama, with this pick. I think he could play right tackle for this team. I think he's a better run blocker than he is a pass blocker, but I also think he's got some development abilities to develop at right tackle. And people really don't talk about, like, he's not the perfect pass blocker per se, but he also doesn't allow a lot of sacks at all. He allows pressures on occasion, but what J.C. Latham does a really good job about is at least making it to where the quarterback's able to get rid of the ball before the player gets there. And I think that he has been consistently, I mean, Nick Saban trusts him so much. He's been a part of this offensive line for the last couple of years, and I think that he has been put in the heart against the hardest pass rushers on each team. So for him to be able to hold his own, I think the Bengals are going to look to replace one Bama offensive tackle with another one, I guess. And we're going to go Latham here to try to play a part from Orlando Brown to be the new tackle tandem to protect Joe Burrow.
I like it. I like the decision there. And I do agree with you that Jonah Williams is going to probably be out the door for Cincinnati and they just kind of slide him in there. I didn't get to ask you, how did you feel about the Orlando Brown it's signing this year, kind of everything that went down there?
So, I mean, when you kind of put it into perspective that really they kind of just paid him what they could have paid Jesse Bates, you kind of like realize, like, man, this kind of sucks. Now, a different aspect of this that no one really talks about is the fact that Orlando doesn't really have any guarantees in his contract. So if he's not playing well, he's not making that much. So I think in terms of how the contract is structured, Cincinnati's okay with Orlando being there, and I'm okay with him being the left tackle of the team for the future, if that makes sense. Now, would I rather have Jesse Bates? Absolutely. No doubt in my mind, I would take Jesse Bates back in a heartbeat. But the Bengals don't like to give out the guaranteed money, so instead they gave basically a skeleton of the Bates contract to Orlando Brown, which I guess it works because it protects Burrow. It helps. And I think he is the best offensive lineman on the team for what it's worth. So I think in terms of that, it's worth it. At the same time, given the what's happened and the fact that Jesse Bates could have been paid that instead, kind of wish it would have been Bates, but I'm okay with it.
Okay, that makes sense. I understand your kind of feelings around it right now. Jesse Bates is really, really good, and it really looks like they made a mistake letting him go, but I know they were gonna be letting a
Absolutely.
lot of people go here over the next few years, and it seems like this is where they kind of have to have some shrewd drafting, and I don't know if they've been as shrewd so far here. We'll see what happens with them. I've got the Rams now. Of the tackles that are left, because we've taken Alu, we've taken Fuaga, who's obviously interior some, Joe Alt. Who's the best offensive lineman left on your board? Because I think the Rams probably go offensive line here, but I'm just curious where you have the board looking.
So there are like two guys I think who are still like in a prime spot to be taken, I think, like in this kind of area, on the offensive line. So I think in terms of like how they are pick wise, I think this makes a lot of sense. Now, fit wise, I kind of wonder which one would be better. I like both Troy Fautanu from Washington and Amarius Mims from Georgia. I think both of them are like really, really close in my grades right now. Now, that will change obviously once I get all these measurements. But let me look here and see, because I'm not sure which side the Rams need to add on the offensive line, and that plays a huge part. to me and which one they would look to
I
add.
th I
So
think so. Steve
probably left
Avia is
side.
Steve Avia is probably going to be their left guard, but they probably need a left ta they need either probably a left tackle or a right guard or maybe a center. Like that's kind of the direction they're at right now. But yeah, probably either a right guard or a left tackle.
Based on scheme fit, I think probably the better fit here would probably be Troy Fautanu, especially if he could play that interior part too, because he could maybe play right guard as well. Because I don't know if Kevin Dotson's who you want at right guard if you decide that maybe left tackle is okay for a year. Or maybe you look to add someone or sign someone in free agency and then add him to be your right guard for now. And I do think that Rob Havenstein's a guy that is good for now, but you maybe look to replace him down the line. And I think either Mims or Fautanu could do that. But I do see an easier path to Fautanu being an immediate starter on this team. So I'll probably go here between the two. I'd probably lean towards Troy Fautanu from Washington.
Do you think that Fautanu is a first round prospect?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
In
for
that
sure.
case, I'll go Fautanu, someone that they can't get later in the draft. Because I know the Rams have been great at day two and day three drafting the last few years. Avia looks like he's going to be really good. Who's the nose tackle they pick? Kobe Turner looks like he's awesome. Obviously, Puka is the fifth round pick. Yeah, they look like they can get some value players later in the draft potentially that are impact guys, but if you just plug in an interior offensive lineman who you can't get anywhere else, I think that's probably a big deal for them. So, yeah, I'll put Fatanu on the Rams there and have them go reinforcing the interior offensive line. You are doing Seattle at 20 here. So, this is a trade down from 16 to 20. You technically have the next three picks coming up here because you get Seattle, Denver, and Philadelphia back to back to back here, but
That's right. Okay.
we did a couple trade downs. This is where they come into focus. What does Seattle do?
So Seattle here, I think after you traded down, I mean, I would be pretty pleased if I'm Seattle here because I think they could have used maybe Troy Fautanu. So losing him here, I think, kind of stinks a little bit. But there's another guy here who I think is a great fit on this team and is falling a little further than what maybe people would have expected. Jared Verse from Florida State is going to be my pick here for Seattle. I think that they want to add more to the edge rushing group to help get to the passer more consistently. And I think this would be a great fit for this team in Jared Verse, who I think is a very dominant pass rusher. And I think also this is a guy that I think can immediately be a glue and stick guy on this team, day one starter coming in. You already have Ochenna-Nwosu on one side. I know Boye Mafe has been okay. He's been up and down every now and then, but this is a guy I think you can immediately bring in, be a starter now. I think he can rush the passer at a very high rate for this team, and he's the best player available at this pick. They already have a really good interior with Leonard Williams, Draymond Jones, Jerron Reed. We know that they have a very capable cornerback room with guys like Michael Jackson, Tariq Woolen, Devin Witherspoon, Spoon, Quandre Diggs, Jamal Adams, Julian Love. They have a load of talent on this secondary. I think if they want to really put this defense together, you need to add a dominant pass rusher, and that guy is Jared Verse.
Book it for Seattle. I know we're not going to get to this because he's not going to be a first rounder, but man, Penix would be so perfect to put in there with them. He can be a
Oh,
backup
yeah.
to Geno, slide in. I know
We
they
would
just
love
moved
it.
up in the second round because of the trade deck we just did, but man, if they could get Penix in the second or third round, oh, I would love that. He's already the hometown hero. That would be so good if they could get him second or third round.
Yeah, they would absolutely be all over that for sure. I think that would be a great scenario for them. And I think honestly, like Seattle is in a position where if they were able to trade down and add an extra pick and could still get a guy like Jared Verse, that's like the most ideal scenario in their draft. Like to be able to still get a dominant pass rusher to help complete this defense and add picks to help maybe add to your interior offensive line later on, which is why I think I made the trade down pick to begin with. I think there are some guys, maybe like Zach Frazier or someone else there in the round two, round three area who they could take to maybe be their center or backup or right guard if they were to need that. I think this is the perfect plan for them to actually be able to complete this team as a whole.
All right, you got Denver 21 traded down. They've got another second rounder now. So, what does Denver do at pick 21?
I made this trade down for, I think, almost a specific reason, even though I almost forgot I even made the trade down originally, drafting late Tulatu. I do think that Denver is a team that is going to be taking a close eye at the wide receiver core. And even though Courtland Sutton, they've spent a lot of assets towards Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, they've distracted Marvin Mims last year. There are some guys on that team they've invested in. I do think this wide receiver core has not planned out anywhere close to what they were hoping to be. I think it's destined for one of Jerry Jeudy or Courtland Sutton to get traded at some point, and whichever one doesn't get traded definitely isn't good enough to be the alpha anyways. So you want an alpha receiver. There is one guy here that I'm a huge fan of that we haven't really, I guess, talked about, and I guess kind of got a little bit outshined by someone who we were talking about earlier in Malik Nabers, that being Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, who I'm going to take here with this pick. I want another outside dominant receiver on this Denver Broncos team, and I think Brian Thomas is the perfect guy to give them that. He had almost 1,200 yards receiving last year. Had 17 reception touchdowns, which I think was just ridiculous. He could play out wide. He played a little bit in the slot. He's been super consistent. Very, very good blocker. I think he's got super safe hands. Can create separation, but I don't think it's necessarily his strength. But I think that he's very capable of creating separation on the outside. And I think he is one of those alphas. He is an X receiver on your team that you want to have to really rely on down the stretch of the game. I think neither Jerry Jeudy or Courtland Sutton would have been proven to be consistent enough or safe enough to be consistent hands guys that you could trust on your offense. Really, the only guy I think you really could trust to have safe hands on the offense has been Tim Patrick, who has been hurt the last 2 years. So you want to get that X receiver on your team to help be a for sure reliable weapon for whatever quarterback the Denver Broncos are going to have, because they aren't taking McCarthy, because I don't want them to. So I'm going to take Brian Thomas Jr. here to be the future wide receiver on this team.
That's a good point. Why are they not taking McCarthy? Because I don't want him to. It's a great, great explanation. Totally understand. The Broncos receiving core has basically been, we come here every year and say, well, they believe in Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy and Tim Patrick. We say those names as if they mean something, and they rarely ever do. They rarely ever mean anything. If the Sutton thing isn't going to happen by now, it's probably not going to happen for him. And Jerry Jeudy was like actively fighting Steve Smith on a Thursday night football game where he went out and had like one catch for 9 yards. Like, I think it's just about over for Jerry Jeudy at this point. I would be stunned if he's back on the Broncos next year. So I think it makes sense that they go Brian Thomas Jr. there. And maybe they get a draft pick for Jeudy at the end. Not as good as the pick they gave up to get him, but I assume they declined the fifth year option. So he's, I think, a free agent now.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
They are not bringing him back. I got a good feeling about that.